All right, let's talk to our next guest, Ross Tucker. So Ross with us every single Wednesday at this time.
What a lead into Ross.
Wow, sorry, Ross.
Ross, of course, does a great job covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League, and you can follow his work at Ross Tucker NFL. Good morning, Ross.
You know, good morning, Joe. I have something to say.
Uh-oh.
I am glad that John's kids are older now because sometimes John makes a comment, and I just picture, like, what if you work in Child Protective Services and you're driving in your car? Listen, like,
uh-oh.
If John's kids were like 3, 5, and 7, and you work in Child Protective Service and you hear some of the things he says on the radio, you might make an appointment. I mean, you might have to stop by the house.
Bye-bye.
To see what's going on.
Yeah. Bye-bye. I mean, no, I hear you.
So fall out of the bathtub, you become a mannequin.
Bizarre. All right, so Ross, I don't know if that's stranger than the Eagles being 4-2 in such a contentious and controversial type of year. Are they good, Ross, or do they just feast on two really bad teams, and that's how 2-2 became 4-2?
I think they're good. You know what I mean? I don't think they're more than that. I don't think they're worse than that. Right now, I think they're just good. They're not great. But I think they are better than average. And I think I don't care how bad the teams are that they're playing. That was an absolute beatdown of the
Giants. Yeah, it was.
I mean, that was embarrassing. If you're a Giants fan, can you even imagine every aspect of that? Did they even get past midfield? I mean, I know somehow they got a field goal, but that was – they had 119 yards. Every time Daniel Jones dropped back, he would get sacked. They were powerless to stop the running game. And when we talk so much about Saquon, even when Kenny G was in there, he was breaking off runs. Hey, Giants, what do you think they're going to do with Saquon back in his return? The guy had 180 yards before the fourth quarter. Listen, you can't beat another NFL team that bad, Joe, and not be good. I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl or that they're great, but you can't beat them that badly and not be a good team.
So, Ross, how much better is this offensive line at run blocking compared to pass protecting? Because we're still not really operating at full efficiency in a passing perspective, right? The running, it feels like, man, we're right where we need to be.
So, a couple different thoughts. Number one, the run blocking is very impressive, and I hope that that continues. I hope they continue to lean on it. And by the way, side note on that, we got to get Saquon 2 or 3 screens a game. You know, the guy is so explosive, so dynamic in space, that would be the first thing if I was Sirianni, I would say to Kellen Moore, hey, this guy needs at least 2 screens a game.
Look, Ross, I love it in theory, but I need Jalen to be better at it. I mean, it's year 5, and I still think his height holds him back. And when you're not under center, I think it makes it harder to do that.
Well, and to your point, Joe, on the pass blocking stuff that John referenced, they got a major challenge this week because Trey Hendrickson for the Bengals, rushing off that edge like Burns for the Giants, yeah, is legit. They need to give Fred Johnson more help. But I'll also say this. I've just kind of resigned myself to it at this point. Jalen's pocket movement and pocket presence, it's just not great. I mean, you know, he's never mastered the art of, like, the subtly stepping up in the pocket, subtle. Like, think about, like, Dan Marino back in the day. Some of the sacks that Hurts took, some of the decisions he made, some of that is on him. Some of that he could do a better job than he does. But I just, you know, I'm at the point now, it's what, year 5 for
year
him?
Year 5, yep.
Yeah. I don't know that that's going to get better. I think we just have to accept that that's not a strength of his game.
It's a tremendous disappointment for me, Ross, and particularly given that he went to 2 big-time college programs. So presumably he wasn't coached by, you know, some schlub in 1AA. Like, it's just astounding to me that he's not more advanced with this stuff. And it worries me. And one of my concerns is, as the Eagles look better, that in the playoffs, Jalen, will be what submarines them. I really worry about that. And that's, of course, if they get to the playoffs, which I don't assume, but I think they have a good shot for. And I just see this thing sizing up in a way that he plays a bad playoff game and they lose.
You know what's interesting? I remember, Joe, in the preseason, for, you know, doing those games, I talked to Kellen Moore, and the coaches were really harping on Hurts to hang in the pocket just a little bit longer
yep.
before escaping to give the routes a little bit more time. And I understood why they were doing that. And when, especially with Mailata at left tackle, I thought that was a good decision because Hurts would so often just bail and start running to the right when he didn't have to. I almost feel like with Fred Johnson in at left tackle that the coaches should say, actually, if it's not there and you see an opening, take off. Because I still would like to see him take off with more conviction initially and then more decorum later in the run. In other words, if you see an opening, take it and run, but then don't take this. Like, he got rocked.
He got rocked.
The goal line.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be doing that either.
Yeah, that was a big shot. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Nick Nurse, what he said about Joel, who's obviously not playing tonight and not playing for at least the first week. What Nick Nurse said yesterday, we'll play that audio shortly. Phone calls. Mike right now. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
What's up, Mike?
So listen. I, as you know, always call in about the Birds and maybe a little bit of baseball here and there. Just let you know the Yankees are doing the World Series. But what I'm calling about this morning is, Joe, the worst time or best time of the year is Philadelphia starting to talk about the Sixers and Embiid. I have no horse in this race. I'm coming at you with a completely agnostic voice.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I'm so surprised in you that you're going to fall for this again. Like, Rhea's there.
Wait, what am I falling for?
Get rid of this guy. Get rid of this cancer. Because all he's doing is setting you up for another season of disappointment. Like, everyone just looks up. Not everyone. Most people are looking at the positive, the what-ifs, and the
well, I don't think many people are looking at the positives right now. But here's what, and Mike, here, look, it's a reasonable point you bring up. Here's what I will say. Here's just my thing on whether to go forward with Embiid. I still would. I recognize it's likely he will not win a championship with the Sixers. I'm not happy about that, but I still think there is a chance. I'd like to see this season play out with him, Maxey, and Paul George, see if they get it or how close they get it. If he cannot answer the bell this April, May, and June, then that would probably be the first time that I would say, okay, now I'm ready to move off of it. But I'm just not there yet, but I recognize that they will probably not win a title with him.
But, Joe, and I guess that's what's so frustrating when I hear you because, listen, I'll admit you're a smart guy, but in this instance, you sound like you have Stockholm Syndrome.
But Mike, we know the alternative, but you know what the alternative is, right? Like, you're going to be so bad for probably anywhere between 3 to 10 years. Like, the Oklahoma City Thunder are now maybe title contenders. They're certainly in the conversation of some of the elite teams in basketball. But when they lost Durant, it was a long time ago. Like, it took them a long time to come back. And we've seen that with this. Like, I remember, Mike, I grew up with, like, Clarence Weatherspoon's a 6-foot whatever power forward who would get a shot blocked. I know what it's like when you have a 20-win team. I saw it in that group. We obviously saw it in the tanking years, and that was extreme. And once you get there, I mean, yeah, sometimes you draft Allen Iverson, and that changes everything. Sometimes you get Evan Turner, Sean Bradley, yeah. Sherrone Wright, and, like, you don't go anywhere.
And sometimes you draft a guy who's injured, and he's injured his entire career.
I know. So, Mike, that's my argument. I'm sure some people agree with it. I'm sure some people disagree with it. It is what it is. Mike, give me a one-word song. Okay.
Sure, this is Joel Embiid theme song, Beck, Loser.
Wow.
Damn.
Holy mackerel.